Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit go.vikingcapllc.com/best. That's go.vikingcapllc.com/best to get started today. Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHer are out to change that. InvestHerCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHerCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHerCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHer, HERCon.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket.
In that moment, literally while I was driving there, I said to myself, I am not going to work for anybody else ever again.
Are you ready for the best real estate investing advice ever? Join Joe Fairless and today's best ever guests as they share it with you. It's the best ever advice with none of the fluff. Let's go.
Heard of crowdfunding and still curious about how you can benefit from it? Well, we've got a step-by-step guide put together just for you by the best ever team and Patch of Land, the industry's leading crowdfunding experts. The best crowdfunding crash course ever, episodes 152, 159, 166, and 173 will provide you all you need to know to get started and begin benefiting immediately. Whether it's getting access to funds for your project or passively investing in other people's deals, the time is now to get started with Patch of Land. Go to patchofland.com/best ever to grab your copy of the top 10 answers to the top 10 crowdfunding questions. That's patchofland.com/best ever. Hello, best ever listeners. Welcome to the best real estate investing advice ever show. I'm Joe Fairless, and I'm here with today's guest, Matt Bowles. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Joe.
Welcome to the show. Matt's joining us internationally. He is in Spain. He travels. Actually, he's lived in 14 countries since 2013. Wow, that's a lot of frequent flyer miles, and that's a lot of, more importantly, that's a lot of incredible experiences, I imagine, and hopefully you'll tell us a little bit about that. But from a real estate background, Matt is a partner at Maverick Investor Group, where he and his partners have helped investors, real estate investors, buy over $1 million in turnkey rental property. He's personally responsible for buying and selling over $4 million of real estate. With that being said, Matt, can you give the best ever listeners a little bit more about your background and what you're focused on now?
Yeah, absolutely. So I started off, we'll go back to 2004. I was actually working at a nonprofit organization, and my whole background, I mean, you know, has nothing to do with business or investing or anything like that. I have a degree in sociology, and then I have a master's degree in international peace and conflict resolution. And I worked in the nonprofit industry doing human rights advocacy work and civil liberties advocacy work and that sort of stuff in Washington, D.C. for years. And, you know, good work, really long hours and really low pay, right? And so I was making about $40,000 a year. And somebody said to me back in 2004, hey, you should buy a house. And I said, what are you talking about? Like, how am I going to afford a house? I make $40,000 a year. And they said, well, you know, lending and, you know, you don't need to put a lot of money down. And back then you certainly didn't. and so
they would pay you for that.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm like, okay. So I ended up buying a house and I bought a 4-bedroom house and I rented 3 of the bedrooms out to friends of mine. I bought the house for $325,000. And in 10 months of me buying the house, it appreciated in value 40% higher than what I bought it for. And I was, that's $120,000, right? I got an appraisal for $440,000. And I was like, whoa, the light bulb went on. I said, you know, I'm working 60 hours a week to make $40,000 a year. I could have sat on my couch and played video games and made 3 times that much money than nothing, right? So the light bulb goes on, right? That, wow, I really got to start studying this real estate investing stuff. So I bought all the books that I could buy about real estate investing. And what I did is I then cashed out and I refinanced and I took that money and I started buying real estate in other real estate markets. And I started studying the concept of different real estate markets and different property cycles and all that. So I started buying real estate in different states. And then what happened is my friends, you know, and coworkers and stuff started asking me, they're like, man, how are you buying that real estate? You're building this real estate portfolio. How are you doing that? Can you show me how to do it? So I said, sure, you know, and so I would take my friends, you know, with me and they would also buy real estate. And so what I learned in that process was that if you go in with, let me say, 4 or 5 or 6 people and you all want to buy a piece of real estate, right? Let's say it's in back then it was, you know, new construction, right? And in a development, you're buying single family homes or something, right? You know, if you bought 3 or 4 or 5, 6 people in, you say, hey, if we all bought a property here, could we get a little bit of a better deal on that than just me alone buying one? And it turned out, sure, you could, right? So with that concept, a bunch of people and I just started, you know, each, you know, buying our own stuff, but we were all buying kind of together. And what that turned into is me saying, hey, you know, I'm loving the real estate stuff. I'm loving helping other people out, teaching them how to do it. But I bet there's a business side of this that, you know, where I could turn this into a business, right? And help people do that, but also get paid. And so that's how Maverick Investor Group was born. And that's exactly what we do today. And we've been doing for the last 8 years. So we started in 2007 officially. And we've been helping individual real estate investors ranging from first-time buyers to very experienced real estate investors to buy turnkey performing residential investment property in what we feel are the most advantageous real estate markets in the country. And those markets change over time, right? So one of the value propositions that we put together to bring to the table is to help investors build diversified portfolios over time by buying and holding real estate in different markets at optimal points in those property cycles.
All right, let's talk about that. How do you determine when a market is at its optimal point in the cycle?
Yeah, so there's no way to determine when it's at its perfect point, right? So you definitely don't want to wait for that or try for that or only buy for that. But I'll give you some examples. So, you know, back in 2010, a lot of our clients were helping them buy in Phoenix, Arizona. Back then, you know, the market was, you know, just coming off of the bottom, just starting to recover. And people that bought there in 2010 did great. What happened after that is, you know, all the private equity funds and big money came in and started buying up all the houses, drove the market way back up, and the home prices just soared up. They appreciated way faster than the rents. Then there was a process of yield compression, right, where the cap rates went way down. And it is now, at this moment, I would suggest no longer advantageous to continue buying in the Phoenix market. So if you bought there in 2010, you did great, but not today, right? Today, we're looking at other markets that are at earlier points in their recovery cycle. So you're never going to time the market perfectly with exactly the bottom or exactly the top. But what we look for is markets that have positive economic indicators. So they have job growth, they have population growth, people moving into the market, right? There's upward pressure on rents and increasing rental demand. And the market is at an earlier stage of the recovery cycle. So home prices are still low while rents are relatively high. So you're getting optimal price to rent ratios, which is what cash flow investors want to look for.
What resources do you use for the early stage of recovery cycle?
Sure. I mean, you know, there's a lot of data that's published on markets. You know, for example, the S&P Case-Shiller index tracks certain markets. They don't track all the markets. But if you look at that just as an example, if you're looking at one of the markets that they track, you can look at historical home price trends. The Federal Housing Finance Agency also publishes monthly and quarterly reports about the home price trends and what the different markets are doing. And then there's a lot of private data companies that, you know, produce and sell, you know, more detailed data than that. But what you can do broadly is you can look at graphs and you can look at charts and you can look at, you know, where are the home prices? Where were they in 2007? When did they peak? When did they trough, right? I mean, some markets were hitting the bottom like Phoenix in 2009, 2010. Other markets didn't bottom out until, you know, well into 2012. You know, almost 2013 until they hit the bottom, right? And so they're at much earlier stages of that recovery cycle. There's a lot more upside there. But even more important than the potential upside, we think, is where you're buying at versus what you can rent it at. So you're optimizing your cash flow margin.
What's the best market for that cash flow margin right now?
Oh, that's a good question. And depending on when you publish this, this could be very outdated information, right?
This will be publishing the week of, we'll say, the 21st or the 14th.
Yeah, and I don't mean when you publish it, but I mean when people listen to it, they listen to it a year from now or 2 years from now. I can tell you that, for example, some of the markets on the East Coast, markets like Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, for example, that's a market where, you know, it didn't bottom out until well into 2012. It's now definitely on an upward trajectory, but it's only appreciated back up maybe 7% off the bottom. It's still a good 16% below where it was at the peak. And, you can buy houses relatively low, and there is a very strong rental market there. So, that's one of the markets that I would say has been our most popular among our investors over the past year.
You mentioned 7% off the bottom from where it was during the peak.
From the average. From where it was in the trough. So if it went down, let's say it went down 22% and it's only back up 7% from that, that means it's got another 15% to go back up to the peak, right? So a market like this only went down about 22% or so in total. You know, so it's not a roller coaster market, right? It's not like Las Vegas or Miami, right, where you're talking about a 50%, you know, or more decline in value, right? You're talking about a 22% or so decline, and it's come back up about 7, and it's still got about, you know, a good 15, 16% to go until it gets back to those 2007 levels.
And when you're talking about those percentages, what resource are you referring to when you're looking at that?
Sure. So Philadelphia is actually one of the markets that is not tracked by the Case-Shiller index. So a lot of this data you can find there, right? So if you go online, S&P Case-Shiller, you can see what their 20-city composite is. You can see what they have. You can see Federal Housing Finance data. They have data that goes all the way back, right? So you can really track it from there. But you know, with Philadelphia, just as an example, there's a PhD economist by the name of Kevin Gillen, who is at Drexel right now, I believe, and he publishes an quarterly report on the Philadelphia housing market. Okay, and so he basically independently puts together a lot of this data and a lot of this research, which is done for a lot of these other markets, on Philadelphia because it's not tracked by Case-Shiller. So, you know, those reports are available online, you know, if you Google them. So, you know, that's one example. I mean, some of this stuff is stuff that you have to look for, right? I mean, you have to search for it. You have to, you have to find it. But, you know, that's where we get it.
Where was your house when you bought it and appreciated 40%?
It was in the Columbia Heights area in Northwest Washington, D.C.
And when you're investing, when you look for investments on your own, or whenever you're looking for other turnkey properties for your clients, besides the market and the cash flow from the high rents, low purchase price, are there anything else? Are any other things you're looking for?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you want to be, first of all, you want to be sure that you're buying in an area that is going to give you a solid exit strategy. And that's going to continue to supply demand for the asset that you own during your duration of ownership, right? So if you're buying a rental property, typically what you want to do, if it's a single family home, is to buy it in a primarily owner-occupied area, an area that is desirable both for renters, okay, and also for primary homeowners, because when you're going to sell that property, let's say 5, 7, 10 years down the road, if you ever sell it, you want to be able to have a retail exit strategy where you'll be able to sell that on the retail market to a primary end user that wants to live in the property. So that's one thing that we absolutely look for, is making sure that you're going to be able to get that rental demand while you own it and then have that exit strategy when you sell it. And that's a really important thing as well.
Wow, what a great idea. I love that. I didn't think about it that way. Never thought about it that way, but making sure that we buy in primarily owner-occupied areas so that we do have that retail exit strategy. And for any best ever listener who's not totally engrossed in real estate, the retail exit strategy is basically somebody who's an owner-occupant buying it for their home and their kids versus another investor.
Exactly. Because if you're going to sell something to another investor, right, obviously they're going to want to get a discount on it, right? They're going to want to get a great deal on it because they're an investor, right? But if you have something that is desirable to owner-occupants that want to live in it, then you can sell it, you know, on the retail market and ideally, hopefully get the market value paid to you for your property.
Yeah, because the owner-occupant's not going to care about what it rents for. They just want the nice white picket fence that you added to it that adds a tremendous value. And they're not going to be running the numbers. They're just going to be looking at the sales comps and going at it from that approach.
Exactly.
Matt, what is your best real estate investing advice ever?
View real estate as a vehicle. Okay. Real estate is not the end game. Real estate is a vehicle to achieve other things. And so think about what those other things are. Real estate is able to facilitate, I believe it is the preeminent vehicle for facilitating lifestyle design, for facilitating your freedom of mobility, for generating passive streams of income that can cover your living expenses and create more time for you that you can use however you want, spend it with your family, travel the world, you know, do whatever it is you want to do. And so I would say to start off with, think about what you want real estate to do for you, and then have those end goals in mind and work backwards and view real estate as a vehicle to achieve your goals and your dreams.
I know that based on kind of your lifestyle, you clearly don't have the lifestyle design thing down, because I mean you're stationary all the time. You're just you grew up in the same city and you're just always in the same city. I mean you're a traveling machine, and you talk about, you know, passive streams of income, and I think, you know, clearly that makes a lot of sense with your business model in particular. If you're selling turnkey rental properties, what's the passive component from that? Because in my mind, that is, you know, kind of like a broker, where you're you know, selling properties, and that's similar to like a wholesaler, where there's really no passive aspect unless you're managing those properties too once you sell them.
Sure. So, and this is a great distinction, because I think people get this mixed up a lot, because the term real estate investing is used really broadly to cover all sorts of different things. So, you know, there is real estate investing, and then there's real estate entrepreneurship, right? Or the business side of real estate. So I'm in both, right? So Maverick Investor Group is a business that serves real estate investors. You know, I'm an owner, I'm a founder of that, and I absolutely work in that business. So, you know, what we do is we help our clients to build portfolios of properties that generate passive residual income. Okay. Now, many of our clients are also in the business of real estate in some way, shape, or form as entrepreneurs as well as we are. Okay. So what I did with my business, right? Because you're right. When you start a business, that's not something that's completely passive, but there are ways to build your real estate business if you want to get in the entrepreneur side of the business, to build your business, to also build in that freedom of mobility. Okay. So one of the most inspiring books for me. And I don't know if you're going to ask me this question to recommend a book, Joe, but if you, I might be jumping ahead here, but I'll just say this, you know, when we started Maverick in 2007, one of the most inspiring and influential books for us was The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss. And that book, if you haven't read it, I think everybody should read the book, because no matter what business you're in, you can definitely get something out of it. And I found some really just completely mind-blowing at the time core principles that I was able to integrate and build into my business so that we could run this business. And yet all of my partners could live in different states or at the moment, you know, different countries. And we could really empower our staff and the people that work with our business also to do the same thing so that people can design their lifestyle and have that freedom of mobility, even on the business side of real estate.
That makes sense. The lifestyle design for sure. I mean, you were talking, I think before the show, you know, I asked you where you're at and you said, well, depends on when we're having our conversation, because I'm going from country to country, but our company, the LLC for tax and whatever other purposes, is based in Las Vegas. So from the design standpoint, but all your partners are remote. That makes sense. From a passive stream of income, what passive streams of income have you created?
Sure. So, I mean, you know, again, there's the real estate investing side of it. So I've bought and sold, you know, over $4 million worth of real estate. I mean, my partners as well, you know, we all are in real estate as investors. I mean, that's how it started. As I told you, we started buying and holding real estate and then, you know, having people come to us and have us show them how to do that. Now, on the business side of things, we always look to create, you know, passive income streams as well, in addition to the real estate, you know, that we're working on from that side. For example, affiliating with other types of services that can add value to our clients, right? And allowing, you know, introducing our clients to opportunities to, you know, buy various different real estate services that might add value to them. Those types of things then can generate passive residual income. You know, maybe somebody subscribes to a particular piece of real estate software, for example, right? Or a program or something that's going to add value to them. And that can then create passive residual income. So on the business side of it, you know, that's how we do that.
Makes a lot of sense. I know with my stuff, anytime there's a book that somebody recommends, well, no, not anytime, but sometimes when there's a book that somebody recommends, I've got an Amazon account with an affiliate account. And if I put the link to that book through the account, which is a special link, then if they purchase it by clicking on that link, then I think I get like 4% of the purchase. And you know, it doesn't sound like much, but if you, it really is a passive way of generating income. And I think I just got a deposit of like $9.43 for the last month or something. I was like, hey, that's like the most proud $9.43 I've ever made.
Right. Exactly. Yep.
You ready for the best ever lightning round?
Do it, man. I'm ready.
First, a quick word from our best ever sponsors. Crowdfunding. You've heard about it, and now it's time to learn about it. Our best ever sponsor, Patch of Land, is a leading expert in the crowdfunding space, and they've got all the answers to your crowdfunding questions. Go to patchofland.com/best ever and grab your copy of the top 10 answers to the top 10 crowdfunding questions. That's patchofland.com/best ever. Get clarity and insight on your money by using Wella, your digital financial advisor. See all your accounts in one place and get all the answers to your questions from a real financial advisor anytime. Visit yourwella.com to get started. That's yourwella.com. All right. Well, you told us your best ever book. So I'm going to ask you, what is your second best ever book you've read?
Oh, man. I'm going to give you another business recommendation. It's a book called Remote by Jason Fried. The subtitle, I believe, is No Office Required. And that deals with a lot of these types of principles that we've been applying as well. So that's the second recommendation I'll make.
Best ever personal growth experience and what you learned from it.
Hands down, getting fired from my job. That was absolutely the best personal growth experience I had. And it really kicked me in the pants to start the business that I'm doing now. So as I mentioned, I was working full time. I was investing on the side. I liked what I was doing. I said, man, I think there's a business opportunity here. But it literally took getting fired from my job, and in dramatic fashion. I mean, this was like, you know, they call you into a meeting at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and you don't know why. You have no idea. and they tell you to get your stuff and get out by the end of the day. And oh, by the way, give us your laptop and your phone because that's company property, and leave. So I literally, right, walked out of my job with a couple hours notice with no laptop and no phone. I literally had to drive to the, I remember this so distinct. This is so vivid for me. Driving to the, you know, Verizon store to buy a phone so that I could call my mother to tell her that I got fired from my job, right? I mean, it was crazy. And in that moment, literally while I was driving there, I said to myself, I am not going to work for anybody else ever again. I am going to start my own business. I'm going to figure out how to do that. I didn't have experience. I literally then, after I bought my phone, I went to Barnes & Noble to find a book on how to start a business, which is where I stumbled across the 4-hour work week, right? But I literally had to go and do that. But I said to myself definitively, this is not going to happen again, right? It is, you know, working for other people and having a job and all this kind of stuff, you know, one minute it's great, the next minute you are out, and I don't want that to happen again. I'm going to start my own business and I'm going to pursue that path. I believe that I can do it, and I just, you know, never look back.
Best ever success habit you practice?
Building real substantive relationships with people. Getting to know individual human beings on a deeper level, understanding what's important to them, understanding what adds value to them, and trying to deliver that value and trying to maintain a meaningful, genuine relationship, not a superficial, you know, quote unquote, kind of business relationship or that kind of thing. I feel that when you are able to connect with people and people, you know, they like spending time with you, you're actually adding value and you're genuinely in it for the relationship, that is where all the magic happens.
Best ever deal you've done?
My first deal that I've ever done is by far my best deal, and I'll tell you why. Not only does it still stand as the greatest, fastest appreciating property I've ever seen, 40% appreciation in 10 months, but the reason why it's the best deal I've ever done is because that's the deal where the light bulb went on for me, right? You can read as many books as you want about real estate, great, and it's this and it's that, and you can make all this money. It's not real until it happens to you. So I bought my first property. I rented out 3 of the rooms to housemates, and their rental income was able to cover the mortgage. It was my first experience with passive income. It was my first experience understanding that, you know, that income from real estate could cover my living expenses. That was where the whole thing started for me. So that's to this day is my best deal ever.
And you do a cash out refi on that and then use that to invest in other property?
I did. Yeah.
And best ever listeners, by the way, that cash that you get out of the property is tax free, so you don't have to get taxed on that.
Yep.
Best ever project you're most excited about right now?
I'm most excited about where the real estate market is at the moment. You know, it was interesting because we've been doing this for a long time. So I saw the market go way up. I saw the market go way down. And it was interesting to watch the buyer psychology during that period. As you probably know, Joe, you know, people are most excited to buy when the market is closest to the top. And when the market is all the way down, people are most hesitant to buy, right? And so what's interesting about the market now is that we're in this aggressive recovery cycle. So buyer psychology has come back to, I want to buy. And I think there's still in a lot of these markets room for people to absolutely get in at a really, really good time before the markets get back up. So I'm just super excited about where this real estate market is. And I'm super excited to see all the first time investors that have never done this before starting to get into the game at a really good time.
Best ever way you like to give back?
Great question. So as I mentioned, my background is in activism. It's in nonprofit advocacy work, right? I have a master's degree in international peace and conflict resolution. So that's where my heart is at. That's where my passion is. And that's why I work 60 hours a week for $40,000, because I believed in, you know, what I was doing and the importance of that. And I still do to the same extent, you know. So I would say, previously, definitely the only, I didn't have a lot of money. So I was giving back in the form of my time, right? And contributing my time to causes that were important to me. Right now, you know, now that we've started Maverick, what we've integrated is a company policy whereby we donate 10% of our company net revenue before managers or owners take any money out of the company. We donate 10% of the company revenue. So that's now an institutionalized policy moving forward that we have.
does the cause, the philanthropic cause, change, or is there a certain one that you all donate to?
They change. They evolve, they develop, and we each have sort of different passions. So my business partner, Valerie, you know, is most passionate about, you know, donating to girls' sports teams in developing countries, which is freaking awesome, right? So we're looking right now for like Maverick's ability to sponsor girls' sports teams in developing countries and things like that. So, you know, we just do really cool stuff and stuff that we care about and that we're passionate about, and we go and find a way to try to contribute.
Best ever quote.
I'm going to go with a Tony Robbins quote. And the quote, and the quote is, at any moment, the decision you make can change the course of your life forever. And I think that for me is a really important quote that I like to think about either when you've just had a setback or a failure, or when you're at a plateau and it's kind of a frustrating extended plateau, right? Because you need to be aware that wherever you are in life, wherever you are with investing, wherever you are with entrepreneurship and business, that you are one decision away from just completely moving the needle and changing the entire game. So whether that's reaching out to one person and building one relationship that will take everything to the next level, whether it's buying that first real estate deal and pulling the trigger on that, whatever it may be, you're one decision away.
What's the biggest mistake you've made in real estate?
Speculating. No question about it. No question about it. No question about it. I told you how much my first property appreciated, right? Well, you know, that gave me the idea, oh, well, then real estate will just always just keep appreciating like this, right? So as long as you buy it, you know, your upside will be in the appreciation. And so when I was starting and I didn't know very much about it, that's, you know, what I went for. Whoa, well, what are the fastest appreciating markets? Well, why don't I just buy there, you know? And, oh, well, the market rent doesn't cover all the expenses. Well, that'll be superseded by the appreciation that I'll get in 10 months from now. So don't worry about that, right? So absolutely. I mean, it you know, speculating on stuff is just straight gambling. So what we learned from that, right, from the last market upswing and downswing, is that is exactly what we built our company on, right? Which is what we call the Maverick approach to real estate investing, which is an approach based on real estate fundamentals, right? And it goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning, which is buying real estate in sustainable markets, buying real estate at prices that regular people that make the median income can afford, and buying them where there is high rental demand that is going to give you a positive cash flow from the day that you close, so that whether the market goes up or it goes down or it goes sideways, you made your money when you buy because you bought a cash flowing asset in a strong market.
What's the best ever place to reach you, Matt?
Well, you can reach us through our website at maverickinvestorgroup.com. You can find us on social media. All of our social media links are right at the top of maverickinvestorgroup.com. That's probably the easiest way. But if you're on Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, you know, we are there. Our handle is at InvestMaverick. So you can find us there. Or you can just email me directly. My direct email is just Matt, that's M-A-T-T, at maverickinvestorgroup.com.
Matt, thanks a lot. I've got a lot of takeaways from our conversation. One of them is, you know, I mentioned it before, but when you were talking about buy in a primarily owner-occupied area, then you have a really dynamic strategy as an exit strategy if and when you decide to sell, and that's selling to retail buyers, so people who are moving in their families because they're going to pay top dollar and they're not going to pay attention to the rents. Because they live in there. They're not going to rent it. They've got a mortgage on that puppy. And also when you're talking about the different resources that you use to identify the different market cycles, you talked about the Case-Shiller that has historical home price trends. You also mentioned Federal Housing Finance Agency. And then when you're talking about Philly, you mentioned Kevin Gill, what's his last name?
Yeah, I believe it's Guillen. It's spelled G-U-I-L-L-E-N. He's an independent economist that does quarterly reporting on Philadelphia. I can shoot you the link if you want to put it in the show notes.
Yeah, I'll include it in show notes. And, you know, so that takeaway, it's less for me, it's less about Kevin. It's more about the application that Kevin represents for all the other markets, where there's an expert in the market that is assuming it's a large enough market, they're talking about the trend. So it's identifying who that expert is and then becoming a student of their work, assuming that it's good work, and reaching out to him or her and asking them about the market, because ultimately we invest in real estate and it's about the local economy. And it's even more local than the city. It's the neighborhood. It's the block. It's the, you know, the neighbors that you have to the left and to the right of you, which really makes the property, you know, perform or not perform. So really interesting stuff. And then also how you got started. Congratulations on the 325K house, renting it out to your three friends and living in one bedroom as well. And then in 10 months, just striking gold with the 40% appreciation. What a lovely outcome for a first property right out of the gate. Mine, on the flip side, I bought a house, $76,000, and the first tenant I had to be evicted. And that was after it was vacant for a couple months. So I found eventually a tenant, and I've only had one tenant in there since 2009. So it's gone really well for that one house. I also fired the property management company, so which solved the problem. Really, really good stuff. Thank you so much. And also, lastly, don't speculate. You'd mentioned, you know, that's where you get bit, and that's where a lot of investors get bit too when we speculate on prices. And I said lastly, but I have to obviously give the shout out to the Tony Robbins quote. I'm a student, and I have a Tony Robbins coach. I mean, of Tony Robbins, and I've never heard that quote, but I love it. At any moment, the decision you make can change the course of your life forever. We're going to end on that note. Thank you so much for sharing your best ever advice with the best ever listeners. And is there anything that you wanted to mention closing this out?
You know, I think just, again, I'll repeat kind of my best ever advice to the best ever listeners, which is just focus on the end game. Focus on the lifestyle design that you want. Focus on the contribution that you want to make to the world and how you want to give back. Focus on, you know, the time and the mobility and whatever it is that you want to achieve in your life, and then work backwards. View real estate as a vehicle. We support all of our clients in doing that. We do consultations, individual consultations with all of our clients to help them understand their needs. And we'd be happy to, you know, support any of the best ever listeners that are interested in chatting with us. Just maverickinvestorgroup.com. And we look forward to speaking with anybody that's interested.
Thanks a lot, Matt.
Thanks, Joe.
Hey, you best ever listener. Do you want more? Then go to joefairless.com, where you'll get tons of free videos, templates, and content to help you get deals done. And remember to subscribe to the best ever show in iTunes, so you can keep getting your daily dose of the best real estate investing advice ever.